Very happy to say that Dr. Barry Taylor is back with us. He was here last week and is back again this week. So it must have gone well last week.
Good to see. Well, being
in your
with
humble
you?
Opinion.
Yeah. Oh God, it was great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate that. We covered a lot of topics last week when you were on, but today, you know, a lot of people of a certain age, which would be around my age.
50-ish?
Yeah.
51,
yeah.
52?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. don't go any further. but a lot of people of a certain, maybe 50 plus, 60 yeah. plus too, getting closer to 70. Friends of mine, acquaintances, what have you, a lot of them have difficulty sleeping or, you know, waking up frequent times, a number of times during the evening, during the night. In early morning hours to, you know, either go to the bathroom or just plain waking up and are restless all night long. So what are your thoughts? What are your suggestions? Do you find that to be true as well?
Are you saying counting sheep no longer works? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure these people have tried everything. Sominex. Remember the old Sominex commercials?
Wow.
On the Lawrence Welk show, I can see the sheep going over the fences.
I'm way too young for
Lawrence Welk. I know you
Lawrence
are. I know you
Welk.
Are, right?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I can still see those old Sominex commercials with the sheep going over the fences, going over the gates, you know, jumping over. Yeah.
Right. So, wow, there's so much for us to cover. So thank you for inviting me back.
My pleasure.
The topic of sleep does affect a lot of people in their elder years. And it also, insomnia or having difficulty getting back to sleep, waking a lot, it also affects a lot of people who are younger than people in their 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
What's the most efficient mineral for most Americans?
What's the most efficient,
efficient mineral? Yeah.
Well, I would say water.
Ding. Mineral.
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 Oh, mineral. Okay.
Looking in my book. God, okay, thank you so much. Yeah, it's amazing. Calcium.
Calcium.
Is the most efficient mineral.
Okay.
Yeah, the dairy lobby has kind of snookered us at thinking, you know, that we all should be drinking milk and cheese. Why would we drink a lot of milk and cheese? Because it's supposed to be high in
calcium.
So we've been taught. And while that might be so, and the fact that cow milk is really intended for a calf to grow into a 2-ton animal, that's a different show, and that we're all kind of prejudiced that we're supposed to be drinking it, most Americans eat so much sugar and alcohol and white flour, I'm going to start with sugar, that depletes the body's ability to utilize calcium. So high animal protein intake. Now, I'm not saying everybody should be a vegan, and I'm not saying nobody should have. I'm talking about people who have roast beef sandwich for lunch and steak for dinner, and you know, then lots and lots and lots of animal protein that will bind the calcium and white sugar. So why is this important? When one nerve goes into another nerve, that connection is called a synapse. And in a synapse, of which there are billions of these junctures in our body, is the fluid that's all about calcium. So for one nerve to travel into another nerve in that connection, you need calcium, which finally catches up, which is why some men and women, a little bit more women statistically, over 70, it's some unbelievable statistic, like 70% of most women will have hip fractures after they're 80. That's because of bone loss. That's because the calcium reserves in their 30s, 40s, 50s is, you know, not everybody who falls breaks their hip. But bones become more brittle because calcium is not, it's being used up. So there's a dietary connection that's a piece of why some people, young or old, have difficulty sleeping. They're eating way too much sugar. They don't know that there's a lot of calcium in carrot juice, almonds, almond butter, sesame seeds, tahini, goat cheese. The calcium in goat milk is a lot more absorbable than the long chains. What's cow milk for? Intended to make a calf into a cow. It's very, very different than human breast milk. Goat milk's much, much closer to human breast milk. So one of the pieces, Ken, is that people's calcium is off. Bad news, you can't go to your PCP and get a blood draw, because when you get your blood taken, the calcium that's looked there is meaningless. It says nothing about calcium in your bones or in your body. So that's one tip for anyone listening. Eat less white sugar, have more honey, blackstrap molasses, maple syrup, and have more calcium-rich foods that your body will be able to absorb, like sesame seeds, almonds, almond butter, carrot juice.
Hmm. So more calcium.
More calcium.
That's the key.
That's a key.
One key.
One key.
Yes.
This is a door that has many locks. So another key is the brain. There are several keys, not just two. But the brain is fed by a number of things. And one of the things that feeds the brain are amino acids. One of the popular sleep medications is Ambien. Listeners have heard of Ambien.
Sure.
Careful, it can be addictive. But Ambien releases an amino acid in your brain called GABA, G-A-B-A. Difficult to close to impossible to get in any harm with it. And if somebody took an amino acid of just GABA, 500 milligrams, 1,000 milligrams, and of course the doses depend on how much somebody weighs and other things.
Right.
There are ways when I evaluate people individually, I'm looking at amino acids. And some people, young and old, their amino acids are out of balance because, again, of what they're eating. You know, they're eating okay, fair, but nobody's really guided them how to eat carefully.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned something about young people like you and I.
Right, exactly. In our age bracket.
People
yeah.
who are youthing, because that's a different show. Yeah. How to youth, not age.
Right.
So people who are getting on, J-Dog is not, because he's eternal. He's immortal.
He is.
Yeah. There's an issue that can be hormonally related. So a lot of women, a menopausal, postmenopausal symptom for some women, different than hot flashes or night sweats, is poor sleep. That's a very common symptom for some women in their late 50s, early 60s. Mm-hmm. Now, men also go through male menopause, but that's also a different topic. So there are hormonal relationships where people are not doing enough essential fatty acids. I'm going back to food. I'm going back to nutrients. Barrage oil. That's high in something called GLA. They're not eating enough of what's been called a Mediterranean diet, where that's high in olive oil. Mm-hmm. So different than somebody's getting woken up because their prostate, if it's a male, is swollen and they're not emptying their bladder enough during the day. That kind of getting woken up is different. Now, I need to offer a man an herb to kind of shrink the hypertrophy because the prostate's swollen. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody's brain is not getting fed what it needs nutritionally. And so we got the first thing is potential minerals. Second thing is potential amino acids. Third thing is there's hormonal involvement for men and women who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who say, God, I used to be able to sleep the way an adolescent can sleep. You know, your teenager can
forever.
Sleep till 10, 11, 12. How do they do that? Well, now it's not just I wake up at 6 or 7. Now I'm up at 4:35. And it's like, why do I wake up? That's hormonal. And that can be addressed nutritionally. And when I say hormones, I don't necessarily mean estrogen, progesterone, or testosterone. I mean there are other ways to get your hormones balanced.
Wow. Well, there's a lot to think about. You've already given us a lot to think about. But getting back to the Ambien, and I know...
Okay.
That a lot of people do take that, but as you said, it can be addictive.
Yep.
So if you took 500 milligrams of GABA, right?
You might take 1,000, but again, if you Googled GABA, you know, there's no side effects to taking too much. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs it,
right.
But if Ambien were working for somebody and somebody was willing to experiment, then you're exactly right. Somebody could go to a health food store and get GABA by itself, isolated. It comes in 500 milligram or 750 milligram capsules or tablets, and see if they could get off the Ambien and take GABA. Now, there are other herbs, I might add, that are high in releasing calcium. They're called nervines. So there's an herb called valerian. There's an herb called passion flower. Hey, if you had two or three or four beers, how might you be?
Well, a little groggy and sleepy. Because it's
got what? The beer's got hops.
Okay, yeah.
So if you've got a pharmacy like I've got, or you go to a health food store, there are tinctures, mother tinctures, fluid extracts of herbal combinations of a little passion flower, a little valerian, and maybe a little hops. Not going to get you drunk. Because all three of those herbs release more calcium into your body. Again, if you took it in the morning or afternoon, it's not going to make you tired, so you can't drive. But if you took it in the evening, it might help you downshift a lot and help you get to sleep more easily and stay asleep more easily.
Well, very good.
So, a lot of herbs.
So now what about turkey?
Turkey is high in what? Excellent. Great. I love it. Great question. Turkey's high in?
Calcium?
No, but no cigar. Tryptophan.
Tryptophan. Yeah.
So tryptophan is a brother, sister, cousin of GABA. Tryptophan is an amino acid, and that's why we all get tired.
Yeah.
If you eat turkey and you're not a vegan.
So, I mean, it's not just,
there is
good reason
in-laws.
For that, right?
It's not just like, I got to get away. Excuse me, I'm going to take a nap.
Right.
No. Turkey is very, very high in tryptophan.
Yeah.
Now, there was a scare some years ago. And you couldn't get tryptophan for years in a health food store. Mm-hmm. And finally, things came back and it was tainted so that years later you could buy the tryptophan.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two sources. One is called 5-HTP, used a little bit for depression, but it's also great for sleep. And yes, you can get straight up tryptophan, just like you can get GABA, pretty inexpensive, and you can take a different amount. You know, with something like tryptophan, you'd start with 50 milligrams or 100 milligrams of tryptophan, and one or both of those in combination could get people off pharma, drugs, Ambien pretty easily.
What if you just had a slice of turkey? Would that do any good?
Huh? Try or two.
Okay, yeah.
With or without dressing?
Probably without.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keeping our fat content low?
Right, as low as we can.
Okay.
Especially before going to bed, right?
True.
Yeah.
Because if you eat more before you go to bed, you're going to dream more.
Is that right?
Yeah. Try it.
Wow.
If you want to dream, have a glass of milk before you go to sleep.
Really? Now, a lot of people would recommend a glass of milk before you go to sleep.
Well, it's an old wives' tale. Some things hang around for years.
Like hot milk doesn't do you any good getting to sleep.
No. Well... And does a shot of schnapps help you? Right. Either.
Neither.
Yeah, neither.
Neither does.
Well, I maybe both do. I don't know.
Yeah.
We could experiment. Let's do a field trip.
That's true. It's kind of field trip I'd enjoy, I think. Yeah. Dr. Barry Taylor is with us. He's the author of the book, Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. And we're trying to get everybody healed on this program. Maybe not well healed, but healed.
Yes.
Yeah. If you have any questions for Dr. Barry Taylor, give us a call, 866-823-1077. If you're not getting the sleep that you think you need, deserve, or, you know, want to have every night, a lot of people, wake up time and time again during the course of the night. And, it's tough getting back to sleep for a lot of people. And some people who may sleep through the course of the evening, get 6 or 7 hours of sleep, think they have a good night's sleep, but sometimes that's not always the case either.
They wake up tired.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. A lot we could unpack about that statement. They've eaten dinner at 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And so the food is still in their stomach for 4 hours. It's not coming out of their stomach till midnight or 1. Let's say they ate at 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Then after it's out of their stomach, it goes into their small intestine. That's another 4, 5, 6 hours. So while their eyes might be closed and they're not talking or watching TV, they're doing more digesting than nervous system regeneration. And so there are, and that's why they need coffee. That's why they need tobacco. That's why they need some kind of stimulants to kind of get them going.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vicious cycle for people who don't eat their bigger meal midday, but eat, you know, their dinner too late. That can affect sleep for a lot of people.
Okay, so what is a good rule of thumb? How many hours should it be after you've eaten your last morsel, let's say, and before you go to bed? How many hours between, you know, your last meal and bedtime?
Depending on whether somebody's in a therapeutic regime, and you know, are we dealing with arthritis or, you know, allergies or irritable bowel, or somebody's super healthy, things become more or less important of what somebody needs to do as opposed to one size fits all.
Right.
If I'm working with somebody to get their body working way more optimally, mm-hmm. I will have them eat a bigger lunch than dinner. Mm-hmm. I'll have them snack mid-morning, mid-afternoon. And dinner will be a soup and salad or a small piece of fish, somewhere like 5:36, 6:37 finished. So that when they're going to sleep, 10:30, 11, they haven't had a huge meal. So because they've eaten the bigger meal, flip lunch and dinner, and they've also snacked at 3:30 to keep their blood sugar up. So they're not that hungry. Eat something. I'm not saying miss dinner.
Right.
But you're not looking forward to the dinner like, wow, I had lunch at 11:30, 12, and now it's 7:30. I haven't had anything since 11:30, 12. It's been 6-7 hours. I'm starving.
So when you do snack, like mid-afternoon, what should you snack on? I mean, there are snacks, and then there are, you know, snacks.
Yeah. Everybody's different.
I mean, it's not like you can sit down and have a glass of milk and a whoopie pie, you know, at 3:50.
Generally not. Yeah.
Right.
So there are healthy and unhealthy high-energy bars. Mm-hmm. There's small carrots, and cut up pieces of celery and have some hummus, or have cut up an apple, core an apple, and have an apple in almond butter. I'm very big on certain kinds of protein drinks as a mid-morning, mid-afternoon, that you can put frozen raspberries or a half a banana or different things that are highly absorbable and will keep somebody's blood sugar steady without putting a big stress on their body to digest it. And it takes a lot to navigate through lots of tubs of protein in lots of places that are just poor. There's just a lot of different protein shakes out there.
Yeah. And I'm sure some are much better than others.
Right. One thing about sleep, Ken, is unless I'm asking somebody to do something very specific, maybe tryptophan or GABA, another amino acid is called taurine. T-A-U-R-I-N-E. I ask people to not drink an hour before they sleep, especially men, you know.
Now, when you say drink.
Water, tea,
anything.
Milk. Yeah,
anything.
I'm not talking about alcohol.
Right.
I'm talking about anything.
Yep. Right.
Because, you know, you want to drink at 8:30, 9, 9:30, and then if you're going to go to sleep, you don't want to have to urinate that out at 1:32.
Right.
Different than your prostate's a little weak.
Sure.
What herb are we going to give you to help strengthen the prostate, or zinc or pumpkin seeds or things that really help strengthen the prostate?
Dr. Barry, I want you to put those headphones on.
Okay.
We're going to put you to work.
Okay.
We have Sue on the line from Northwood. Sue, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing very well. Say hello to Dr. Barry.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Well, I have a question about coffee.
Coffee.
Because as I get older, coffee gives me indigestion, and it never used to.
Mm. Yeah. It stimulates hydrochloric acid in your tummy. You know, your stomach is lined by these parietal cells that stimulate HCl, which is also called hydrochloric acid. And when you're in your teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, which you'll get to your 50s soon, Sue. But in earlier years, it can maybe not catch up to you. But later on, it can catch up to a lot of people, particularly if they're drinking coffee on an empty stomach. I remember when I was in medical school and I had a job at a store in Portland, Oregon. And can you think with me, in certain stores, they have these plexiglass funnels where you can open them and things come out of them, you know, granola or almonds. You with me, Sue?
Oh,
you
know, yeah, I know.
And I remember that I was cleaning those plastic funnels, and one of them had coffee beans in it. And on the side of the plexiglass were these bubbles where the coffee beans had eaten into the plastic.
Oh.
Yeah. And so that's caught up with you and many of my clients. It doesn't mean you should never, ever, for the rest of your life, drink coffee, but do your best to have it with food, because then the coffee will stimulate hydrochloric acid and help you digest chicken or protein or fish or some protein, because hydrochloric acid digests protein.
All right, because I noticed the percolated coffee does not bother me as much.
Ah, okay. There's your answer.
So, well, thank you very much.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Have a great day.
All right, Sue.
All right.
Thanks, Sue.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Somebody emailed me and said magnesium. What about magnesium?
Yeah. So if, remember, let's go back to where we started. One nerve goes into another nerve called a synapse. So, but you got all these nerves. They're like filaments, way thinner than, say, the tip of a pen.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrapping the nerve is magnesium. So magnesium is very, 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 very important for nerve conduction, can help sleep. Magnesium is found mostly in chlorophyll-rich foods, green foods. And what's interesting, at least to me, is, you know, you've heard of something called hemoglobin. It's this very complicated, round, big molecule. It's not like small. It's this big ring.
Mm-hmm.
And in the center of hemoglobin is iron that's good for blood. That exact huge structure, if you take the iron out of the center and you put magnesium in, is chlorophyll. The exact same structure. So magnesium for some people is particularly good for cramps,
mm-hmm.
leg cramps,
yeah.
restless leg syndrome at
mm-hmm.
night,
yeah.
And can be helpful. It's not the first thing I go to, but magnesium, have to be careful in supplements, because magnesium oxide, regular magnesium supplements can give people the runs, can give people loose stools. So if you're taking magnesium, you need magnesium glycinate. It's a certain form of magnesium that you can take more of when you need it therapeutically.
Dr. Barry Taylor is with us, and we're talking sleep. We don't want to put you to sleep. I don't think we are. Dr. Barry has some great information for us about sleep and many other topics, and look forward to his appearances here on Kale & Company. And if you have any questions, we have only a few minutes left at 866-823-1077, and we shall return right after these words. Kale & Company on 107.7 The Pulse. Dr. Barry Taylor is with us, and we're talking about sleep or lack thereof, and what kind of a factor does stress play in being unable to sleep?
Enormous. And thank you for asking me the question. One of the least expensive, most effective ways most people can get amazing results to sleep better, deeper, is to exercise. So thanks for the segue, having an athletic director come and talk to you.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. So, you know, you might start walking. You know, you don't have to do vigorous jumping jacks or push-ups, and you don't have to swim for an hour. But there's a way of moving your body that's not going to work stress out of your muscles, and there's a way of getting the endorphins in your brain when you really get into some aerobics. But you could do that by power walking. You know, you don't have to take a class that's way over your head. So there's a way that I'll invite people to get in a different relationship with their body, which could begin with walking, mm-hmm. maybe dancing. It doesn't have to be downhill skiing over moguls, but something that they might think that they would enjoy. And so there's a way of walking and breathing, and there's a way of letting out certain emotions that we all hold in, or we think about so many things in our life, and our head is filled with so many thoughts. So exercise, there are studies for years and years and years. And as somebody who grew up not exercising, because I was so overweight growing up, and then took me decades to kind of get into, I love moving my body. It's a joy, and I get pleasure in finding certain things that I love and certain things that I don't do as much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not a good ice skater.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that listeners could do and take care, stretch a little bit, but see if you can get yourself 2, 3, 4 times a week where your heart rate is going up a minimum of 10 to 20 beats per minute of whatever your resting pulse is. Mm-hmm. Two, stress is, well, how do you let go of stress? So it doesn't mean everybody needs to become a meditator and sit on a cushion. And there are many outlets, whether it's drawing, painting, singing, it might be chanting. It might be, well, could you read poetry? Hey, how about music? There are so many different forms of music, probably not heavy metal, that, and probably not Purcell trumpets, but there are different kinds of music where the frequencies, because you like B flat or you like D flat, and I don't get into it in that technicality, but I've studied with teachers, mm-hmm. but I could play some, quote, new age music for you that you might say, that's lovely. And I said, hey, you might want to close your eyes and listen to this for 10 minutes. Try it twice a week. There's this meditation visualization tape that I have on my website. When people take these timeouts, power naps, this way of unplugging yourself mentally, you will sleep better. I've had a history in my life where I've done lots of 3-day, 5-day, 10-day, 2-week, 3-week, oh my God, meditation retreats. Mm-hmm. And when I come back from a week-long silent meditation retreat, I do not need 6 or 7 hours of sleep. I've cleared my mind. I've just, doesn't mean I ohmed, because there are many ways. You can do it in Christian traditions and all sorts of different traditions. So relaxation strategies, Ken, are your listeners could scratch their heads and think, what might allow me to deal with the demands coming at me more effectively that might allow me to quiet my mind? We don't have to go to sleep during the day, but just to kind of rest so that my mind is not in the usual rational discursive mode. That helps people sleep unbelievably better. Mm. Last thing that's big, I'll take 30 seconds. Yeah. CBD is a craze. Okay. We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that a lot of people, it's an herb. It doesn't have to be from marijuana. It could be from hemp. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are using CBD to sleep.
Dr. Barry Taylor, always fascinating, and love having you on the show. Part of Kale & Company. What is that website, your website?
My name, www.drbarrytaylor.com. Dr. Barry Taylor.com. Thanks, Ken.
Couldn't get any simpler than that.
That's right. Yeah.